1 o'clock hour, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. We say hello to Mitch Light from The Athletic. Joins us every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. Clark Lee coming up at the bottom of the hour. Mitch, how's it going?
Good. Hope you're doing well, Chase.
Doing fantastic. It was a fun weekend of college football. And things, I think, right now, with the college football playoff expanding, and, you know, I've seen a bunch of, okay, well, what if it happened this year? You know, who are the top four seeds? All those things. To me, it's still the cream is, you know, rising to the top, Alabama, Georgia. But how do you view Clemson and Ohio State after week one? Notre Dame gave Ohio State a game. Ohio State ends up winning it by 11 points. Clemson pulled away last night, beating Georgia Tech, but didn't look great at times. So does anything change for you with those two teams after 1 week?
Yeah, it's sort of like I feel better about the top two teams. I'd say I'm no strong opinion change on Ohio State because maybe their offense wasn't as good as you expected, but we know that's a known commodity. I have no doubt they're going to be great, explosive on offense, and Notre Dame's good defensively. What encouraged me, if you're an Ohio State fan, is obviously the defense. Well chronicled how much they struggled the last few years. Jim Knowles coming in did a great job against the conservative Notre Dame offense, but still did a great job there. And Clemson's like, you know, I watched every snap of that game last night. You're watching, they were really unimpressive offensively in the first half, made the plays they needed to make against what I don't think is a very good Georgia Tech team. So are they good enough to win the ACC? Yes. Are they good enough? Is that offense good enough to win a playoff game? No. And, you know, we've got a long way to go, and, you know, who knows what's going to happen with DJ and Kay Klubnik. The freshman looked good in his one series there. So I came away from the weekend, like if you have to be obviously impressed with Georgia and Alabama. And after that, sort of like what I felt before the season, Chase, it's like, okay, I'll put Ohio State 3. But after that, you know, you can throw a bunch of teams in a hat there and you know, not necessarily feel great about that 4th, 5th, and 6th team in your rankings.
I'll tell you one that I was wrong on. My stone cold lock was Utah was going to cover 2.5 against Florida. A fun game to watch. I was very impressed with Billy Napier's debut with Florida. What was kind of your takeaway from that?
Yeah, well, you know, they make one more play, your stone cold lock comes through, right?
Right.
You know, they're down 3,
yep.
They get a touchdown. I mean, that just tells you the fine line between winning and losing.
But
I mean,
15 points for Florida in the fourth quarter, pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, both. I, other than the fact that, like, Utah, this is such a blown opportunity because, you know, could they still make the playoffs? Sure, they could make the playoffs. But this was, like, if you just take away the fact that it was a blown opportunity for that program, I think you feel good about both teams walking away. But Utah's just got to be kicking itself because, like, again, how often are you going to have a chance to go across the country and swamp national TV and win the game with one of the best teams they've ever had? And then Florida, just not the most supremely talented Florida team, but we all, you know, Anthony Richardson, we all watch what he can do there. So, yeah, just a gutty win for Florida, just a nice momentum swinging win, you know, just to start off this regime with a win like that. But I was impressed with Utah, too. And, I mean, Chase, I don't know about you, but I think they play that game 10 times in the swamp. It's probably 5-5.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Agree with you on that.
We're talking with Mitch Light of The Athletic. Now, Mitch, UT did exactly what they were supposed to do last week versus Ball State, winning 59-10.
Yep.
They were under control from the start of that game to the end of that game. And we haven't seen that from Tennessee in a very long time, where they've come out and just dominated the first game of the season like they should. But they go up to Pittsburgh. How critical is this game, or how important is this game in the big scheme of things? I know it's only the second game of the season, but Pitt's ranked 17th right now. They're coming off a big win. UT has to go to their place to play them. How big is this for them?
Yeah, it depends on your point of view, Derek. If you like looking big picture, like where is Josh Heupel's program going to be in 3 or 4 years, this game doesn't mean that much. But if you're like, you know, the trajectory is still good. But if you're talking short-term goals and being a team that's in the top 15, maybe sneaking in the top 10, this is a game you probably should win. I mean, I think Tennessee's a more talented team. Pittsburgh looked good, not great, I thought. They did some good things. You know, they didn't really run the ball very well. They threw the ball. I think they averaged 12.8 yards per pass attempt, which is outstanding. So that, you know, if I recall correctly, I think that's what victimized Tennessee last year in this game. Obviously, he's a different quarterback, but Pittsburgh had a lot of big plays in the passing game, so they're going to have obviously curtail that there. So I think it's a game that Tennessee can win and should win, and you know it could kind of just add another notch in the rebuild, so to speak. There, you know, beating the defending ACC champs on the road, getting some revenge. So if they lose, it's not like the end of the world, but you know, obviously an important game anytime you go on the road to play a good ACC team.
Now, what did Hendon Hooker prove to you after the first game, heading into the second game, and can he potentially be a sleeper when it comes to the Heisman?
Yeah, I'm not much. I mean, I was a big fan of his. I liked him at Virginia Tech. I probably saw about three games of him at Virginia Tech, and I thought it was really good. I remember when he went in the transfer portal, I was like, wow, that's a pretty good get for Tennessee, and you're kind of wondering why Joe Milton was starting last year. I thought he was really good last year. Seems to be a perfect fit for this Josh Heupel offense. And kind of to your first point, Derek, about jumping out on them, I think that's what you want to see if you're Tennessee. It's like they're the better team. Leave no doubt. Don't let them hang around. So I think he has complete control of the offense. And I would expect him to have a really good season. And they're the type of team that puts up big numbers because the offense they run, if they get out of the gate and have a, you know, we're in midseason and they've got a really gaudy record and he's got those gaudy stats, I think you will be hearing his name. I think there's too many guys kind of ahead of him on the food chain there, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if we hear his name in the Heisman discussion.
Mitch Light is with us. He's with The Athletic. He's one of their college football editors. We're bouncing around the college football scene. Mitch, like everybody, I was excited for the opening weekend. I watched a lot of games. And one thing that it bugs me, and this is hardly a new thing, but it seems like it creeps up on us even more every year with the reviews for targeting, the number of plays that go to video review. The games are really taking a long time. Is anybody concerned about this?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's part of the big picture. You know, I know attendance was great in week one because everyone's excited to come back, but attendance numbers are down. I mean, talk to any school, 90% of schools, athletic departments, and they're worried about attendance. That's part of the equation. The games are too long. I mean, you look at the clock. You know, an 11 a.m. game. It's 2 o'clock here, and they're like just getting into the fourth quarter. I mean, that's ridiculous. And we're sitting on our couch. You know, it's not like we're at the game and it's 100 degrees. So, yeah, there's some rule tweaks that you can do, and I think they did implement a few. The reviews. I mean, I'm in favor of review because I want to see the calls get right, but then, you know, I'm with you. We're sitting around so many, like, what is taking so long? Like the Florida State LSU game at the end. Just talk about
that was so crazy.
Yeah, the momentum out of it. And, yeah, it's like the NFL's got it down to a science. Like, what are the games like? They're all between, like, 2 hours and 58 minutes and 3 hours and 4 minutes, like, or something. You know, I'm kind of making that up, but they really got them in that tight window there. And I think college football needs to figure out a way to get back to the three-hour window because it's now almost minimum 320 or 330.
Yeah, they've got to move on that. All right, Mitch, let's look at the matchup here. Unique situation. We kind of had some fun with this before. Your son, Gabe, is now a freshman at Wake Forest. You have a background at Vanderbilt, but you also go back far enough, as I do. There's been a lot of matchups between Wake Forest and Vanderbilt, yep, and a lot of very different situations. And it's like a lot of times one program is sort of on a roll, on a high, and the other one is not. It's like, and this is one of those where Wake Forest is coming off a really nice year. Vanderbilt's still trying to get some traction here. So what about this particular matchup?
Yeah, well, I was actually talking to someone about this, Dave Gorin, who's the Wake Forest sideline reporter who I got to know over the years, and we were talking, it's like neither team been good at the same time, or very rarely. You know, during the James Franklin era, it was sort of the end of the Jim Grobe era, and they weren't good. And then when Bobby Johnson was sort of getting rolling, it was earlier in the Jim Grobe era, so a lot of the games weren't all that competitive. So, very interesting to note, the spread in the past hour went from 8 points to 10 points. Could be some personnel developments for Wake Forest coming down the road.
Would that be quarterback?
It could be. I mean, that's what it's got to be, I would think. I don't know that to be the case, but on a Tuesday afternoon before the first, because, you know, teams, they don't practice on Monday usually. They go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Before the first practice of the week, spread goes from 8 to 10. So that could be something there. So, you know, I watched more of the Wake Forest game last Thursday than I wanted to. I wanted to flip off, but my wife Heather was like, we have to keep it on to see if we can see Gabe in the student section. So, like, I know what he looks like. I don't need to see him. I've seen him wearing a black and gold shirt many, many times before. So, You know, they're good. You know, they've got good A.T. Perry, really good skill player, wide receiver. Their quarterback, if you know, I don't know who's going to play. We just talked about it. Mitch Griffith is the backup. He was pretty good. Now they're playing an overmatched VMI team. So it's a, you know, I think that the potential there for Vanderbilt, if they can knock off, Derek asked me about, you know, what Pitt upset, Tennessee beating Pitt would do for the program. Imagine what this would do for Vanderbilt, knock off a good team like Wake Forest. So it's all there for Vanderbilt. We'll find out, you know, all for the first three halves of the season. Vanderbilt looked really good, and then the second half against Elon kind of fell apart defensively. We, you know, was that fatigue? Was that letting the lead, just having the big lead, or was that just not being good defensively? You know, we'll find out, because obviously this Wake Forest team will test Vanderbilt.
Well, you mentioned it, though, for people that maybe didn't follow closely. Sam Hartman had a very big year, a great year for Wake Forest last year. Would they win 10 games, Mitch?
Yes.
10 games. And so he was announced out indefinitely with a non-football-related medical condition. But when you say the line moves 2 points in the last hour, maybe that's got to be a sign that maybe he's on his way back in there, right? Like, how much of a difference would he make?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not Chase here. I'm not a betting expert.
After last week, I'm not either.
I would say, you know, to me, I would say that's worth like 3 or 4 points. But what do I know? You know, like, so 2 points, it's just something's got to be going on. And so, yeah, and it was not considered season ending. So I think when it was announced, the feeling from coming out of Wake Forest and feeling that, you know, people that kind of we talked to at the Athletic was it was going to be more long term than missing one game. So yeah, if you're looking from a Wake Forest standpoint to miss one game, VMI, that's fantastic. But hey, this and Derek can chime in too. If like Hartman's been at practice, but he hasn't been practicing, I'm sure he's been doing some workouts. If you're cleared after not working out for a month on a Tuesday, are you going to play on Saturday? I don't know. I mean, I can't answer that question. I would think he's got a chance to play, but that's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, it all depends on, it's not like I've never seen that before, but man, it just depends on how much of the offense, you know, he feels comfortable with running, not being able to practice for that long.
Also got to be his, we really don't know what was wrong with him. Like, has
exactly,
he been able to
run?
Has he been able to work out? What's his cardio like? What's his stamina like? So there's a lot of factors that we don't know.
Mitch, as we let you go, real quick, I'm intrigued by the SEC schedule this week, or the matchups, I should say, some out of conference. Is there one in particular that catches your eye?
Yes. Mississippi State at Arizona. Arizona is a fun team, one of the most improved offensive teams in the country. Jaden Deloria is the transfer quarterback from Washington State, who was the Pac-12 freshman of the year last year. They got a transfer from UTEP, a wide receiver, Jacob Cowing. And then they've got a freshman wide receiver from L.A. who was their top recruit ever. They went to San Diego State last week when San Diego State opened up its new stadium and basically ran them off the field. They're a really good, fun, exciting team. So that's a late night. I think it's like 10:30. So that one's going to be fun to watch.
I classify that as Pac-12 after dark, and I am a fan.
And Mike Leach heading back to the Pac-12.
Yes, indeed. Mitch, thanks for the time. We'll do it again next week.
All right, take care, guys.
Mm-hmm. Mitch Light of The Athletic joining us. I think there's some intriguing games that we'll hit coming up next. Clark Lee at the bottom of the hour. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.